This is Audible.
The Start of Us, written by Lauren Blakely, narrated by Joe Arden and Erin Mallon. The Start of Us, Chapter 1. Harley. No regrets. The neon blue sign is both an invitation and a warning. It is also the reason I chose this shop for my first tattoo. That and the fact that it has great online reviews. Because let's be honest, if you're going to stick a needle in your skin, you want to make sure you're not going to a butcher. I peer through the window of the West Village tattoo parlor, scanning the walls for images of its art. They are everywhere, crammed frame to frame, up, down, across, tigers, dragons, butterflies, dolphins, hearts, flowers, and oodles of abstract illustrations that look like calligraphy. Some are comical, some are beautiful. Soon, one of these drawings will brand me, remind me of who I am. I'm not the kind of girl who gets inked. My skin is virginal, untouched by needles and piercings. I'm jittery because this is permanent. I've only ever been temporary. I've never done anything that lasts before. I've never needed to. Now I do. My nerves race around the thoroughfares in my body like they're mapping the route to chaos, and I need to calm down. I can do this. Brand myself like cattle so I don't slide back to the way I was. A gust of cool November air scurries by, making me shiver and reminding me to get out of the cold and just fucking do it. This is a defining moment in my life, the line between the past I leave behind and the new girl that somehow, some way, I have to become. I pull on the brass handle, open the door, and walk into a tattoo parlor for the first time ever. I've entered a zone of coolness, a land of hip artistry, where everyone is badass and bold. It's 8 in the evening on a Wednesday, and the shop is open for another hour, so it's packed inside. There's a gal lazily blowing bubbles with her chewing gum as she kicks her foot back and forth while waiting on a leather couch in the entryway. Black ink snakes up the small path of exposed skin from her collarbone to her earlobe. Indistinct metal music plays overhead. Two artists are working in the back of the shop, set up in little chrome cubicle areas, like at a hair salon, each with their shelves and tools, marking up customers. A large man is spread out on his belly as a guy with dyed black hair gives him a back tattoo. I wonder if the black-haired guy is Trey, the tattoo artist I scheduled with. The other artist is hunched over, working on an ankle of a pretty redhead. As I wait, I check out the portfolios on the counter, flicking through pages of designs. So many designs, my eyes feel like they're swimming in black and blue lines, birds and butterflies. But I don't need to be looking through the portfolio. I know what I want on my body. I'm just passing the time until Trey is ready.
Hey, can I help you with anything?
I look up from the drawing and into the eyes of the black-haired guy. Swarms of dragons adorn his arms. With his sleeves, jet-black dye job, and pierced lip, he clearly belongs here. I don't. From my Mary Janes to my short plaid skirt, it's as if I have a blaring sign on my head, never been inked. But then I remind myself I've been in plenty of unusual, weird, and potentially awkward situations and have handled them all with finesse. I was paid top dollar to be confident, to be sweet, to be sophisticated. I channel all my skills into this moment. I have an appointment with Trey. I say, chin up, voice strong. I am ready to be marked.
That's him, back there.
He nods to the other guy who's finishing the redhead, covering her ankle in a bandage.
I'm Hector. I'll walk you through the paperwork.
The black-haired guy tells me. I show him my ID and then sign the papers. When I cap the pen, Hector's no longer alone. A young guy in jeans, combat boots, and a t-shirt stands next to him. His jawline is stubbled, his body is toned, and his right arm is covered in tattoos. His bicep a canvas for an abstract swirl of ink that looks like three lines wrapped together. I fight the urge to smile stupidly at him, since he's beautiful and probably the recipient of a lot of stupid smiles. With light brown hair that's thick and messy, Green eyes that remind me of a grassy hillside after a summer rain, and a face that you might see on a magazine. He could have modeled perfect looks. But there's a scar running across his right cheek. And I'm drawn to the imperfection in him amid all that surface pretty. The scar looks new, like he obtained it recently, maybe in the last few weeks. I wonder how he got that scar and what it says about him. You can't have a scar on your cheek without it telling a story.
Hey, I'm Trey. You must be Harley.
Yes, I'm Harley. He holds out a hand to shake. His firm grip makes me glad I'm going to spend the next hour with his hand on my shoulder.
Nice to meet you. Come on back.
I follow him several feet, and he gestures to a dentist-style chair. As I sit down, I notice his t-shirt. It's black with a picture of a white and red sign on it. In the sign are the words, "I'm the tattoo artist your mother warned you about." I try to suppress a grin, but I have no such luck.
What's so funny?
A smile plays on his lips, too. Nice lips. Full lips. I wonder what it would be like to kiss someone I wanted to kiss. I have no idea. But I don't even know that I'd want to kiss Trey, so I'm not sure why that thought flashed by. Your shirt. He glances at his chest as if he needs to jog his memory.
Yeah, this one usually gets some sort of reaction.
My mom never warned me about tattoo artists, I say. That's why it's funny to me.
Ah, well, then you have no preconceived notions that we're all trouble.
But everyone is trouble, I want to say, and everyone has preconceived notions. And the reason my mother never warned me about tattoo artists is that she never warned me about a thing. He pulls up a stool and straddles it.
So, are you ready to get your first tattoo, Harley?
I'm startled when he says my name. It's not the name I'm used to hearing from men, and for a moment, a cold rush of worry sweeps my skin. But then I remind myself he's allowed to know my name. He leans in closer and speaks again, his voice low and gentle.
It's okay if you don't want to. Some people come in for their first tat and change their minds when they sit down.
He says, his green eyes fixed on me, searching me, sensing my reticence. He's trying to read me, to give me an out, and there's something so sweet about his offer, even though he's misread my silence. I shake my head. I'm ready. Can you do a red ribbon, the one I emailed you when I made the appointment?
Yeah, I can do whatever you want. It's all ready for you. I sketched it last night. Let me show it to you.
He swivels around and reaches for the design on his shelf. His arms are strong, his muscles on display in his t-shirt, and I watch him, giving myself permission to stare while his back is to me, his t-shirt riding up as he grabs the transfer paper, revealing a sliver of his back. I never knew a back could be so sexy. When he turns around, he shows me the design. It's a small red ribbon like the photo I found online and sent to him. He's drawn it brightly as if it's shining. I love the simplicity of it. That's why I wanted it. I nod approvingly. It's perfect.
Anything special about red ribbons?
They're special to me, I say, and leave it at that. There's nothing more I want to say about this ribbon. No one would understand why I want it, why I need it to remind me of my mother. Because when tomorrow comes and I have to begin my penance, I need to remember that I love her.
That's as good a reason as any. If you're doing something permanent to your body, it should be special. Special to you.
He says, repeating the words as he looks at me, his eyes locked with mine. Something passes between us. Something unsaid in the silence.
Where do you want it?
I push up the sleeve on my t-shirt, bunching it up, then point to my right shoulder. But the sleeve falls down.
Let me help.
He says, rolling it up and cuffing it.
It's better like this. It won't fall down.
And then the strangest thing happens. My stomach flips the tiniest bit as he touches me for the first time, and I'm not sure if I should flinch or bat my eyelids at him because I don't usually feel, and so I don't know how to respond to a real feeling in my body instead of a manufactured one. I've worked hard not to feel, so I tell myself this is a fleeting moment in time. It's passing a hot guy on the street. It's looking at a beautiful work of art and having a quick visceral response to the painting. Because he's beautiful, Or really smoking hot would be a more apt description for Trey, the tattoo artist my mother never warned me about. And maybe because this night is a divide in my life, because tomorrow marks the start of going on the wagon, I decide to simply let myself enjoy the view as he preps my skin. He pours rubbing alcohol on a cotton ball and cleans my shoulder.
"Just need to make sure it's sterile,"
he says as he tosses the cotton ball in a trash can. He grabs a disposable razor from a box on the shelf, holds it up to show me.
"Now, this might sound weird because it's not like you have a hairy shoulder, but I need to shave it anyway."
"Shave away," I say, and the words come out halfway inviting. I wonder if I intended them to sound flirty. I usually know when I'm being flirty because I can slip on and off that guy so easily. But maybe I want to flirt. Maybe I want to feel. Maybe I could get away with one night of flirting with a boy my age, a boy I find attractive. Not an assignment, not a job. He brings the razor to my skin, but before he shaves me, he places his hand on my shoulder. Holy shit. His skin is warm, and he feels good touching me. Not like the clammy octopus hands I'm used to.
"It's just to make sure there aren't any tiny hairs that could get in the way,"
he says, then flashes me a smile, one of those knowing smiles that only hot guys can get away with.
"You actually have quite a smooth shoulder, Harley. It's a perfect canvas."
He leans in so close I can smell his hair, and it smells like oranges, like some kind of fresh and clean shampoo. As he shaves the nearly non-existent hairs on my shoulder, I'm keenly aware of his nearness, and how much I like it, and how much I don't know what to do about that liking of it. Then he tosses the razor in the trash can, pulls on a pair of rubber gloves, wets my skin with a damp washcloth and soap, and presses the transfer paper against my shoulder.
"So, do you go to school around here? You at the university?"
I nod. "Yes, I'm studying English. I'm a sophomore."
"Cool. I'm finishing up my history degree and working here."
"How long have you done this?" I ask as he removes the needles and tubes from their sterile pouches.
"Started yesterday."
He brandishes the needle at me, and everything in me halts, my skin prickling with worry. Then the gold flecks in his eyes twinkle, and I sure hope they mean he's kidding.
"You're joking, right?"
"You don't mind a virgin tattoo artist,"
he says in a low and sexy voice, and my face flushes instantly. "Virgin. Like me." "Not at all," I say, trying to recover my cool. "Happy to be your first." His eyes widen, and he hitches in a breath, and that's when I realize I'm affecting him too. There's some kind of real flirtation here, unexpectedly, out of the blue, the night before I have to stop any kind of flirtation.
"I've actually been doing this for 4 years. I've done a ton of tats, and yours is going to be a thing of beauty. I promise,"
he says, fixing me with his eyes.
"I'm going to start now. You ready?"
I nod resolutely.
"I'd tell you to hold my hand if it hurts, but I think we both want to make sure my hand stays on the design."
"So if it hurts, I'll just pretend I'm digging my nails into you and transferring all the pain." I'm rewarded with another sweet smirk, and the knowledge that I like this kind of back and forth when no one is paying for me, when I'm not pretending to like someone, when there's no exchange of power or money or goods, when we are just a guy and a girl spending an hour together on a Wednesday night in the Village in Manhattan, and holy fucking shit, that hurts. I bite down hard on my lower lip, almost certain I've drawn blood.
"Breathe,"
he says.
"You can do this. Your skin will get used to it."
His voice is soothing, his smell delicious, his hands steady, so I close my eyes and let him work. "Do your thing." At first, I feel as if I'm being stabbed by nail scissors, but then the stinging abates, and I am left with only the consistent buzzing against my skin, like a tooth being drilled. It's not pleasurable, not by any stretch, but I'm doing it. I'm getting a tattoo. And for some reason, I'm glad this guy is my first. That word flicks through my brain. As I close my eyes, I picture Trey kissing me, and for the first time, I want a kiss.
Chapter 2. Trey. Her wild cherry scent floods my nostrils. I'm close to her, as close as a doctor and patient, and she smells fucking amazing. She smells like a hot girl, not like opium or Chanel. Not like she's spritzed herself in some kind of expensive fragrance bought at a fancy department store with her husband's platinum card. She smells like someone my age, and she looks like someone my age, and she dresses like it too. There's no earthly reason I should find her so damn hot, because my type has always been that of a fine wine. Women are better with age, and I gravitated toward them a few years older than me. Okay, maybe a decade or two older. But this girl... I'm not even going to say there's something about her, because it's not some random something that makes her hot. It's everything. It's her long blonde hair, her deep brown eyes, her body, and the way she looks in that skirt and those Mary Janes. It's the way she's flirty and also reserved at the same time, as if she's not quite sure what to do, and then she's suddenly sure. And maybe it's because of where I'm at right now in my life. Maybe it's because of this fucking scar on my face and why I have it and what I'm doing about changing my ways, that's what I'm fucking doing, that I find this girl so alluring. Or it could be simpler. It could be that her fingers are digging into my thigh as I finish the line work and move on to the shading of her ribbon. I glance briefly at her hand. Her nails are unpolished. She's gripping me hard as she takes deep, measured breaths. I fight the impulse to hug her, to tell her it'll be okay. She doesn't need that from me. She needs me to do my job, to do it well, to do it precisely, so she can have what she came here for, art on her body. I switch to a different needle for shading, but she doesn't let go. It honestly doesn't bother me that she's got her hands on me. She's some kind of intoxicating combination of sweet and sexy at the same time, innocent but worldly. Out of the corner of my eye, I notice her breathe in sharply. I keep my focus on the needle, making small talk to distract her from the pain. If you could go anywhere in the world right now, where would it be? I ask as I brighten her ribbon with a fire engine shade of red. A smile plays at the corner of her lips. She opens her eyes, glances up at me. You'll laugh, but I'll tell you anyway. Tell me anyway. Because it's not someplace exotic or foreign or the kind of place everyone wants to go. It's just California. I'm not laughing, I say. Why California? Because it's far away from here. Because it's warm? Because of the ocean? Because of the beach? I nod as I work. Her reasons rock. Because of the waves? Because of the sand? I say, continuing, picking up where she left off, like we're in some kind of perfect sync. Because of the sunshine, she adds, and as I'm finishing the shading, the song playing overhead shifts to Arcade Fire. Best band ever, she says as the opening notes grow louder. No questions asked. She turns to look at me, wonder in those pretty brown eyes. Arcade Fire is your favorite band too? Like that's even a question, hell fucking yeah. I'd do anything to see them live. I hear their shows are epic. I've heard that too, all those instruments, violins playing alongside guitars to make big anthemic music. I would love to see them live, she says wistfully. Maybe in California someday. On the beach. Let's have them play on the beach, I say, and she sings a few words from Intervention under her breath. I join in for a line, and she smiles at me at the same moment I remove the needle from her shoulder. You're done. Her eyes widen. Really? I'm all done? Yeah. Can't you tell it doesn't hurt anymore? Yes, of course, she says, a fierce blush spreading through her cheeks. But I wasn't even thinking about the pain anymore because of the whole California thing. Good. That's my job. Want to see your ink?
Yes.
She turns to check out her shoulder, her eyes sparkling as she surveys the design.
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
Thank you, I say, filled with pride. I'm always glad when customers like my work. I'm doubly glad that this smoking hot girl who picked me to ink her for the first time likes it. Especially since she's not the type to get a tat. She's so Manhattan preppy. All lip gloss and perfect blow-dried hair, no punk vibe or badass edge to her. Maybe that's why I like that I marked her. That she found me, trusted me, and didn't freak out. It happens at least once in a shift. Someone comes in and they back out before the needle hits the skin. And hey, that's the time to back out. But I'm glad Harley didn't. She seems like she needs this, maybe as much as I need the ink that's on my arms. I'll be right back. Stay here, I say as I head to the sink, run some hot water on a towel and return to her, patting the towel against her shoulder to clean up. Now it's perfect. You want me to take a picture for you? She reaches into her purse and hands me her phone after scrolling to the camera icon. I snap a quick picture and show it to her. I love it, she says, then tucks her phone away. I raise an eyebrow. You're not going to slather it all over Facebook for everyone to see? She scoffs and shakes her head. Nope, I'm not a big Facebook person, but even so, this tat is for me, not the world. I feel a rush of heat in my veins, her words connecting with me on an almost elemental level, hitting me in the heart. That's how I feel about my ink. I don't hide it, but the art of my body is for me, not for show, not to prove a point. Not so I can look cool. Because it means something to me. It's how I remember those who aren't here anymore. I apply Vaseline to her shoulder. This is just to protect the skin since, you know, I've been digging into it with a needle for 30 minutes. Oh, was that all? Seemed like only seconds. Oh yeah? Only seconds? Was that while you were gripping my thigh? I say, teasing her and enjoying the hell out of this back and forth I never expected to have. She shrugs her other shoulder. What can I say? You have a strong thigh. Glad you found my leg useful. As I spread the Vaseline on her skin, I try to approach it like it's my job, which it is, and try to tell myself I don't enjoy it any more than any other customer. But that's a pathetic fucking lie, because even touching her skin like this is making me want to touch her in other ways. To learn how her wrist feels against my thumb, to discover how smooth her calves are in my palms, to find out if her hair smells like that wild cherry scent on her skin. My head's getting cloudy as a movie reel flashes by of how the night could play out. I want to shake these images away, to clear her out of my mind. But I also don't want that one bit. I don't want this to end. I press a bandage onto her skin, drawing out the process of patting down the corners, taking my time, trying to work up the courage to ask her something. I don't even know what. To hang out? To go out? To spend more time with me? But I don't date. I don't ask out girls. I don't have the words. My mouth is sawdust, and I should be able to spin 1,000 lines, rattle off plenty of words of seduction like I did for the ladies in my building. But she's not a cougar, and she's not a MILF, and she's not eyeing me up and down in the brass-paneled elevator in the building where I grew up. She's just a girl in college getting inked. And for the first time in my life, I feel like just a guy wanting to ask a girl out. I don't have a fucking clue what to say. There you go, I say when I finish the bandage. Thanks, Trey. She stands up, slings her purse on her shoulder. For everything. You made this all feel good. Or really, you made it not so painful. My shift is over, so I walk her to the front of the shop, running through a million stupid combinations of words I'll never be able to say, until she reaches the door and I am scrambling for a way to spend more time with her. I blurt out, "Don't go." She tilts her head to the side and raises an eyebrow curiously. "You don't want me to leave the shop?" I shake my head, then I nod. "Fuck, I'm a mess." "Yes." "No." I scrub a hand across my jaw. "What I mean is, do you want to hang out? Get a coffee?" Once I ask, I find my confidence returning, so I continue, getting my groove back. Talk about music, or just talk about where you'd want to be in California? Hell, this is my last night before everything changes tomorrow. Might as well spend it with the first girl my age I've ever been attracted to.
Chapter 3. A gigantic coffee cup beckons us, the sign for big cup coffee. I'm not so sure coffee is the best idea right now, since I'm more nervous than I ever was walking into a hotel lobby to meet a client. I knew what to do then. There were guidelines, expectations, different for each man because they all had different preferences, but the rules of the road were ironclad. Nothing below the waist. You paid your money, you got your kicks. Everything was prescribed and then delivered according to the order. With Trey, I'm going off the menu. So far off that we're having a different kind of cuisine. Something I've never tasted or tried. Because I've never gone on a date with someone I wanted to date. Someone I chose to date. He's the first guy I want to sit down with, have a cup of coffee with, get to know. I want to flirt. I want to talk. I want to feel his hands on my body again. This might be the last time, or maybe the only time, I have this chance. He holds open the bright yellow door to the coffee shop, and I head in first, shucking off my jacket quickly since it's warm inside. He does the same, and I like when he doesn't wear a jacket because his arms are amazing. Not just the artwork, but the shape of them. The firm, taut muscles, the way t-shirts were made for guys like Trey. At the counter, we peruse the chalkboard menu, and he stands close to me, shoulder to shoulder, his bicep touching my skin. A ribbon of heat runs through me, sweeping across my body, and it's a foreign feeling. This very first inkling of want. But I like it, this want. I want more of it. And I'm dying to know how nights unfold when they aren't bought, sold, or arranged in advance. After our drinks are ready, we sink down into a red couch, my espresso and his coffee on the wooden table. There's an awkward silence, and I don't know if I should go first or if he will. It's uncomfortable, but I also kind of love it because I think it's normal, right? That great unknown of what to do or say.
So,
he begins, then clears his throat. So, I repeat, and the silence expands, spreads between us.
So you go to school?
Yeah. You too?
Yeah. Senior year.
I'm a sophomore, I say, even though we've had this conversation already.
Cool.
There's another pause, and it's like we're on the radio and we've created dead air.
And you're studying English?
Yep. And history for you?
Yeah.
Another bout of nothing to say. Another round of meaningless chatter. Do you like it?
Definitely. You?
Yep. I say, and it feels like we're simply repeating our chat from earlier, only this time it's because we have nothing to say. Maybe this is how dates go. Dully. I better drink this espresso stat and get the hell out of here, because this night is sliding downhill as we retread the same terrain. I'm so thirsty, I say. I take a hearty gulp of my espresso and it scalds my mouth. Ouch. He quirks up his eyebrows.
You okay?
I think I burned my tongue, I say, wincing.
Let me check for you,
he says. All deadpan and toneless. I raise an eyebrow, shooting him a skeptical look.
Come on, I've had a needle in your skin. You won't let me inspect your tongue for burns.
You're going to inspect my tongue for espresso burns? He nods seriously.
It's part of our secondary training as tattoo artists. Needles, ink, and tongue burns. Now let me see that tongue, Harley.
When I stick out my tongue and say, the date that has been crash landing pulls out of the nosedive. He touches the tip of my tongue with his finger as if he's inspecting it. It tickles, and I laugh more. He parks his hands on his hips.
If you're laughing, I can't check out your tongue properly.
I adopt a serious look and stick out my tongue again. He pretends to examine it.
I've arrived at a diagnosis.
Okay, tell me.
You do not have a burned tongue. What you have is a desire to end this coffee date as soon as possible.
His eyes pin me, and his words are so searingly honest that I blush, look away, then back. Was it that obvious? He nods.
Yeah, but it was kind of going downhill fast, right?
Coding big time.
Do you think we pulled it out?
I shrug playfully. I don't know. Do you?
I think if we stop talking about pointless things like school and majors, which is my fault,
he says, tapping his chest, taking ownership of it.
Because I have to be honest here. I don't usually have coffee with girls who walk into my shop, and I don't usually talk about school, and I'm a little bit nervous because I think you're both badass and beautiful. So can we make a pact for tonight to get rid of the bullshit and just talk about stuff that matters? Like, why you want to go to the beach, and how you feel when you listen to your favorite band, and whether you love or hate New York as much as I do, and what you want out of life.
My heart thumps loudly, and I half wonder if he can hear it because that is the coolest, most real thing anyone has ever said to me. It might be a line, but it doesn't feel like a line. It feels like the truth of one night, and this is all I want. A night without lies or lines or pretending. I've never had coffee after a tattoo either, since, you know, first tattoo. Second, I'd love to talk about the beach and why I love it, especially because I never get the chance. Third, Arcade Fire's music makes me feel as if I can feel, like I'm feeling everything inside me that I don't usually let myself experience. The music does that to me, like it's turning me inside out. Trey's shoulders relax, and he grins.
I love that. I think music can be like that. That when you don't know what to do or say, sometimes you listen to a song, and it makes you, I don't know, brave or crazy, or just makes it seem like a bad day isn't so bad.
That's all it takes. The weirdness dissolves. We took the elephant in the room, and we turned it into a mouse, and then scurried it on out of here. We spend the next 30 minutes talking about music that hits us hard in the heart, from Dave Matthews Band to Screaming Trees, from Natasha Bedingfield to Nirvana.
So, can I ask you another question?
Trey says as he sets down his drained coffee cup.
Why did you picture the beach?
Memories flash by. Days when I was younger, running through the sand, falling asleep to the ocean waves. Eating pizza on the deck as the sun set over the water. Just a few weeks a year, but they were the best days. They were the only ones that ever seemed normal in my life. The only time I remember being a family. And I haven't been back to the beach since my parents split. I'm not really sure how to say all that. I'm not accustomed to speaking the truth. Not to men. Not to friends. Not to my mom. Not to anyone. But right now, I don't feel like a jaded teenage girl. I feel like a real girl, like a 19-year-old who doesn't know what her future holds. And even though I know what tomorrow will bring, an end to this, an end to him, an end to the fluttery possibility of a real date, I decide to tell him some of my truths, to see how it feels to be Harley and not the girl I was with all those other men. I used to go to the beach when I was young. I say, my dad's parents lived in Southern California, San Diego. I don't remember much of it. I can't tell you the specifics or anything. It was more like a feel. I close my eyes and the warm breeze skims over my arms. I hear the waves rolling in at night. I smell the saltiness of the ocean. And I have this sort of fuzzy, hazy memory of being happy. I mean, I was six, right? You're supposed to be happy. What could possibly even make you unhappy at age six?
An ice cream cone spilling on the ground is about all I can think of.
He answers immediately, and I smile and point at him. Exactly. You have no worries, no cares, and I guess the beach always seemed that way to me. Not so much that it's an escape, but I think it's impossible to be stressed if you're there.
I think it's a logical fallacy to be stressed at the beach. Worry disappears when your toes touch the sand.
I believe that, but then I don't know if we're ever really as happy as we were when we were six.
When we were six,
he says, musing on the words.
Isn't that the name of a book?
I elbow him. Yes, a Winnie the Pooh book of poems, When We Were Six. I like that book. So what about you? If you could go anywhere, where would it be?
I would leave New York in a heartbeat. Put me on the next train out of here.
Why?
New York is too dirty, too smoky, too fucking claustrophobic. I'd get on a train to Florida, to Virginia, to California, I don't care. I'd ride it across the country and not look back.
You don't like New York?
It's fine, but too much shit happened here.
He mutters as he rubs his hand against the ink on his forearm. Swirling lines, tribal art, all in threes. I bet it means something to him. Like what, Trey? I ask, wishing I could touch his arm gently to reassure, let him know I want to listen. What happened here? He shrugs, swallows, looks away.
I don't know.
he says in an offhand voice that makes me wonder if he's trying to play it cool.
Crazy stuff. Things you don't want to know.
There are things I don't want him to know either. Parents, family, that kind of thing. So I don't press. I respect secrets. It's always that way, isn't it? Too much happens here. He nods several times, and even though neither one of us is admitting anything, we at least have some kind of common ground.
Right? It's like, is anyone ever really happy with the way they grew up?
I shake my head. I don't think so. I don't think it's possible. I don't understand what it would be like to be one of those kids who had a white picket fence life, you know?
So are we just jaded hipsters?
Hey, do I look like a hipster?
Prepster, maybe.
He teases. I don't feel jaded right now. He smiles.
Me neither. It's weird, but I don't feel cynical this second. And trust me, I usually do. I usually feel like I've seen too much or whatever. I'm going to be totally blunt. I'm having an awesome time with you. Something about this night just feels, I don't know, right?
Right. Nothing I've ever done with a member of the opposite sex has ever been right. But yet, as butterflies swoop through me, I might be learning what the word means. Yes, it does. It does feel right. Then he tilts his head to the side, watching, waiting, and the moment feels suspended, like it's a line in the sand, and we're going somewhere over, under, around, and I'm not sure what's next, but we're inching closer, our legs almost touching, our shoulders near to each other. He taps my leg once with his fingertips, and electricity sparks across my skin.
This is better. Much better, right?
My mouth feels dry. I'm not even sure what he's asking, or why he's asking, but I don't entirely care what the question is. With him, the answer seems to be yes. Yes, I say, my voice like a dry husk on a hot summer day. I wish I had water. He inches closer, lifts his hand, and brushes a strand of hair from my face. My belly flips wildly, and holy fuck, that feels good. Just the slightest touch, and I am buzzed. I want more, so I move closer. He picks up on my cues and fingers a strand of my hair, and I'm soaring with one touch. I might float off on a cloud of lust this second.
You have nice hair, Harley,
he says, and his voice is low and smoky now. Everything in me stills. Is he going to kiss me? Is that a prelude to a kiss? I have no clue how boys kiss girls when money doesn't change hands. But he pulls back, and clearly his lips aren't about to lock with mine. Instead, he quirks up his eyebrows.
This is going to sound crazy, but do you want to get on the train? Just ride around and talk?
Maybe it's crazy to get on a train with a stranger, but Trey doesn't feel like a stranger, and for tonight, he's the closest person in my life. He knows more about me already than many people do. And that's because I know I'll never see him again. We can never be together. We would never work. But I can get on a train with this guy who wants an unscripted night. My first unplanned evening. That doesn't sound the least bit crazy. Let's go. We leave the coffee shop and turn onto 8th Avenue. So, now that we're not six and happiness isn't about whether ice cream cones stay upright or not, do you believe in happiness anymore? I ask him. It's a bold question for me. I don't usually dive into serious stuff, but I feel like that's the point of us, to strip away the veneers. He gives me a look like I'm crazy as I zip up my jacket.
What do you mean, do I believe in happiness?
Is it possible? Is happiness possible?
I don't know. I mean, how do you define happiness? Is it some kind of euphoria, like a high?
A high. I know something about that. I know too much about that. I need to stop feeling high. I shake my head. No, the opposite. Well, not the opposite. Not sadness or depression, because that sucks, but more of an even keel. A general sort of shiny, happy, serene feeling. Like all is right in the world. Like you can roll with the punches. We stop at the crosswalk. The light is red. Trey looks at me, his gaze honing into mine in a way that sends my blood racing.
You know what I believe in? This moment. I'm happy right now. I'm having a good time right now.
Me too, I say, and my body is tingling and lit up from his words. Words that feel true and honest. Words that don't come with a price tag or with an order. I don't entirely know what to make of us, but it's as if I'm spending the night in an alternate reality. One where my mom is normal, where my past is clean, where my future is bright, and where moments like this are possible. Then the light changes, and he reaches for my hand, linking his fingers through mine.
Is this okay?
He asks in a nervous tone. Moments that aren't just possible, that border on perfect. Heat shoots through my body. I never knew holding hands could be so good. Yes, it's more than okay. We walk several blocks to Penn Station, talking all the way about happiness and music and life, and then we head down the escalator into the train station. He buys two tickets to the 11:30 train to Long Island. I'm getting on a train to frigging Long Island, but it feels like I'm in Europe. Like I met him on a train from Vienna to Paris, and we've agreed to spend one more day together before we go our separate ways. Because we will part. We will say goodbye. No matter how natural this night feels, it all ends in the morning. We head to the platform as the train rumbles into the station. Are we going all the way to Montauk? Ride to the Hamptons? He shrugs.
Only if you want to.
I shrug back. I don't know. Depends how interesting the train ride is.
I can definitely make it interesting,
he says as he squeezes my hand, his calloused fingertips pressing into my palm. His fingers feel so damn good that I hope and I wish that he's going to kiss me on the train.
Chapter 4. This girl. She makes me feel things. Sure, I want to tug her against me, feel her body pressing into mine, and yeah, I want to do a million more things to her. She's making me crazy with want. But there's something else, too. I like everything about this night with her. Like it's a sliver of time, a dream moment where the dream is warm and hazy and you don't want to wake up from it. It's just sort of unfolding like the unplanned detour on a vacation that turns out to be the best part of the trip. The train chugs out of Penn Station and the lights are dim. It's nearing midnight, and the car is mostly empty. Just a guy in a rumpled business suit who's already halfway asleep a few seats away. Harley looks out the window at the night passing by as we roll on out of New York City. It's weird, but I can breathe easier when I leave New York. I've lived here my whole life, born and raised. But this place is like handcuffs sometimes. And that's when I want to get out of town. This is so random. She says, turning back to me. She looks happy, like she's having a good time with me. And damn if that doesn't make me want to ask her out again. To hop on the Staten Island ferry at night, or go midnight bowling, or even to wander all over town. I've had plenty of women, more than I should have. But we never went out like this. Yeah, who would have thought you'd get a tattoo and wind up on a midnight train? Speaking of, why are you a tattoo artist? How does that happen? I like to draw, I say, wishing the answer were that simple. She narrows her eyes at me. I bet there's more to it than that. To drawing. Why do you say that? I ask, and I'm kind of liking how she wants to know me, to understand me, how she seems to sense that there's more to me. Maybe there is. Because you seem passionate about it, and I think passion comes from somewhere. I was always pretty good at drawing. I say as the train rattles along the tracks, the repetitive clatter oddly soothing. I was the kid who could do the art projects no problem in school, you know? When they say, draw a comic to represent an event in history or something, that was easy and I loved it. But then I started drawing more and more in high school. I say, then nearly stop because I'm about to paint myself into a corner. I try to skirt around the one topic I don't talk about. Then things happened and I wanted my drawing to mean something. She holds up a hand and interjects.
What do you mean things happened?
There's a sharp pang in my chest, and I want to kick myself for having said anything that would even suggest what happened to my family. Too many things happened. Too many bad things. Things I can't even begin to speak aloud. I shrug it off. Oh, you know, just had some rough times. The usual Upper East Side shit. Didn't get into the right college, and now I'm not following in my parents' footsteps as a plastic surgeon, I say, trying to make light of my comments. It's all true. I didn't get into the college they wanted. No Ivy League med school for me. I'm not going to be the next Dr. Weston. Still, I feel like I'm lying because those aren't the rough times, but it's not as if I can tell her the truth. Or anyone. I can manage something, though. A glimpse. Words more true than I've said to anyone else. But why I became a tattoo artist is that I wanted to do something more with drawing, and I figured tattoos were a good way to do that. I think most people, at least my customers, get them because they mean something to them. So I felt like I was helping people deal with the things that happened to them by doing tattoos. That, and they're totally fucking cool. They are totally fucking cool. And look, yours means something, right? She nods, but doesn't say anything more. Will you tell me why you got it? She shakes her head. Not now. I can respect her silence, her need to keep her reasons to herself. I think we can take the bandage off. I grab a tissue from my backpack, remove the bandage and wipe off the Vaseline, then look at her ink. Damn, I impress myself. That's a good ribbon, Harley, I say, and then I trace it with my finger. Her breath catches the second I make contact, and I am in awe. The simplest touch makes her gasp, and now all I want to do is breathe her in, inhale her, smell her hair, taste her skin. I knew there was something between us, but this reaction is intoxicating. I map her ink with my finger, watching as she tries to still herself. But the look in her eyes is one of heat. I bet it matches mine. How did you get that scar? She asks. I took something that didn't belong to me. She raises an eyebrow. You stole? Something like that? Do you hate it? She shakes her head. I like scars. Can I touch it? Hell yeah. Then it's my turn to hitch in a breath as she touches my face, her fingertip drawing the line from my cheek down to my jawline, the cut that was administered a few weeks ago, courtesy of the man I stole from. The reason everything in my life has to change. The line in the sand. Do you think it's ugly? She shakes her head, her blonde hair moving back and forth, her breath light on my cheek. I think it's beautiful, she says in a whisper, and I want to reach out to her, to put this night on repeat, to never forget how I feel right now, how it's more than just physical. There's some kind of connection between us. Harley, I say in a low rasp. If you tell me you want me to kiss you, I will. She nods once and I thread my hands through her hair as she says, I want you to kiss me, Trey. The moment slows and I'm hovering inches from her. I force myself to take a beat so I can recall this kiss when it's over. Because I know it's different than any other I've ever had. I want to savor every fucking second of her deliciousness. I've wanted to kiss you ever since you walked into my store. Then I curve my hand around her neck and brush my lips against hers. Her lips are so soft, and she tastes amazing, all sexy, sweet girl, like sugar and pink frosting, and I want to bite into her. Instead, I take it slow, imprint this in my memory since it'll be the last kiss, last girl, last night like this for a while. I run the tip of my tongue across her lips. She inches closer, telling me with her body that she likes it. I brush my thumb along her jawline as I kiss her more deeply, exploring her full lips, tangling my tongue with hers, all while touching her gorgeous face. She lets out a little whimper, the tiniest sound, and it's so sexy that I tug her closer, needing more of her lips, more of her taste, more of this greedy kiss with this girl I barely know, but yet want to know so badly. I want to do other things, too, like slide her under me, pull her on top of me. Strip off all her clothes. But somehow I manage to restrain myself, even though my body has been reduced to nothing but a raging red-hot fire for her. I twine my hands into her hair, and she slides even closer. Her breasts are pushing against my chest. It's almost too much to take, It's as if I've been wound up tighter, harder, hotter with every second with her. We kiss like that for ages, or maybe for seconds. I don't know because I'm losing track of everything but the feel of her, the way she responds, how she loops her hands around my neck and threads them through my hair, how she can't seem to get enough of this kissing either. I want to drown in this, to be smothered in this kind of heat and want. Then the train slows with a jolt, and we knock teeth, breaking the kiss. "Hi," she says, and she looks tipsy. Hell, I feel buzzed. And I'd like another, please. I want to get drunk on her. Her mouth is sinful and sweet. Her body is insanely fucking sexy. And I want to explore her with my tongue, to lap up the taste of her soft, sweet skin. "Hi." My hands are still in her hair, and hers are in mine. "I have to tell you something," she says, and I tense up instantly, like she just shot my veins full of cold fluid. No good conversation ever started with those words. "What?" She shakes her head and smiles. "It's not a bad thing, Trey. I want to tell you that I've never been kissed like that." I relax instantly, liking her answer, loving her answer. I don't need to know why she's never been kissed like this. I just want to give her more of it. "Really?" She nods. "It was amazing. I want more kissing. I want more." That word, more, turns everything hazy and heavy. What kind of more? I ask carefully, because I'll give her whatever she wants, and then some. She takes a deep breath, as if she's about to say something that's hard for her. Then, in the barest of whispers, she says, "I've never had sex, and I'm not ready for that. But there are other things I haven't done either, like pretty much everything. And I was wondering if you would..." "Go down on you," I say, and my voice is hoarse, my body swimming in desire for her. "Yes." I bring her close to me, graze my lips from her jaw to her ear. "I would fucking love to taste you. But what would you think if we got off at the next stop and caught a train back into Manhattan? Because I would like to take you back to my apartment and do it properly. Not that a train isn't awesome." She nods eagerly. "Definitely." We get off at the next stop. A few minutes later, we catch the last train back into the city. As soon as we grab our seats, we're at it again, hands all over, lips touching, bodies pressed together. Maybe it's because the ending is in sight, because it seems so abundantly clear that this is one of those nights that you can't plan for, but are like magic, and they fall into your life when you most need them. Because right now, this feels like everything in the world, like we are all that's left of the earth. This kissing, this contact, as we speed back to the city where I'm going to do something to her that she will love. I'm going to be her first. She snuggles up against me, and then it occurs to me that I don't have to wait till we reach Manhattan. I can give her something else here and now. As she roams her hands over my chest, I inch a hand under her skirt. She gasps, then parts her legs slightly. And that's all the invitation I need. "Can I touch you?" She nods against me. I run my hand between her legs, feeling her panties. Oh, God. She is soaked, and I love it. I love how wet and turned on she is, and how this underwear might as well be useless. "You are so hot," I tell her, and then I cup her between the legs. She moans softly in my ear. The sounds she makes are killing me, because it's as if no one has ever touched her like this, and evidently no one has. But she needs to be touched. She needs to be felt. She needs to know pleasure. By the way she's rocking into my hand, I don't think it will take long. I pull her underwear to the side and run my fingers across her. She grabs the back of my head, holding on tight as I glide my thumb against her wetness. Then her teeth are on my neck and she bites me. Not hard, but as if she's muting herself. I can't believe she's never been touched like this, with a body like hers and a face like that. But there's something innocent, almost, about the way she moves, and the little noises she tries to stifle, as if she didn't know her body could do this. "Harley, you're so fucking hot. I love touching you. I fucking love how turned on you are," I say, and then she bites down hard on my neck. She shudders and she comes on my hand. She's leaving teeth marks on my skin, and I hope they last forever. I slow down my movement, letting her ride out the wave. She exhales sharply and buries her face in my shirt as if she's hiding. Soon she looks up, and she's all rosy and flushed, and I can't wait to do this to her again.
Chapter 5. So that's what everyone is all in a lather about. That's why everyone wants some. I get it now. I understand. Because I've never, ever felt that before. It was like a cocoon of bliss, of pure, sweet, exquisite agony, as if my whole body was lit up and sparklers were shooting through my veins. 30 minutes later, we're back in the city, hailing a cab, and then making it up the steps to Trey's little studio apartment on the Lower East Side. I've never gone to a guy's home. All my work was done in hotel rooms or bars or on assignments at events. But I want to be here. I want to let myself feel everything I've missed out on and everything I've never wanted to have before. I've never had the desire to be touched like that, to let someone feel me, slide a hand between my legs. Never in my life. The only orgasms I've had have been delivered solo, and I'm not a regular practitioner of self-love. Tomorrow, everything changes, but tonight is still mine. And Trey feels like mine too, like he came into my life tonight for a reason, for more than just a tattoo, for this night to exist suspended and apart from everything else.
So this is it,
he says, flicking on a light. His apartment is tiny, but that's what I've come to expect from New York. There's a futon and bookshelves stuffed with paperbacks and sketchbooks. He turns on his iPod so low I can't really make out the music, but it sounds like Corinne Bailey Ray, and I can't think of a sexier kind of song. He takes my hand and leads me over to his futon. He leans into my neck, runs his nose from my throat to my earlobe, then nibbles on my earlobe.
You smell so fucking good. Do you have any idea how much I want to go down on you?
I shake my head in answer, even though I think I do now. I felt how hard he was earlier when we were all wrapped up together. I press my hand against him, outlining him through the denim of his jeans. I feel so risque, so daring, but I like this wild side of me. And he does too.
Shit, that feels good.
He says with a groan, but then he takes my hand off of him. Why did you do that?
Because this isn't about me. This is about you. I want to make you feel good. I want to do things to you with my tongue that will send you screaming. I want to taste you. I want to be the first to know how you taste.
His words send heat through my body and a sweet ache between my legs. My panties are so damp already from what he did to me on the train. I want you to do all those things, I say, and that's all it takes. His hands are under my skirt and he's tugged off my panties.
Let's get you naked,
he tells me, raising an eyebrow playfully. I slide off my skirt and he takes off my shirt. I'm down to my bra. I hope he likes what he sees, not because he paid for it or ordered it, but because he wants it. He moans and shakes his head appreciatively.
You are gorgeous,
he says, and unhooks my bra, then runs his thumbs over my nipples. No one has touched my breasts before. No one. I barely know what to expect, but the reaction hits me quickly. I hitch in a breath as my nipples harden, and desire spreads through me as he bends his head to kiss my breasts while touching my arms, my belly, my thighs with his hands. He is memorizing me with his fingertips, and it's making me woozy and wobbly. He lays me down on the futon. He's still in his jeans and his shirt, and I'm in nothing. But I'm in heaven, too, because he's returned to my lips, that divine mouth of his kissing me once more. He's soft and hungry at the same time, and it's such a heady combination. His lips are amazing. And he kisses me with a greediness, like I'm a chocolate cake and he wants to gobble me. And honestly, I want that, to be eaten up. I sigh lightly, but I'm not even sure what to do or how to respond as he kisses his way down my neck. I tense for a moment. Do I moan? But I don't like moaning. I don't like making noise. I've never wanted to make a sound, and suddenly I'm overanalyzing every sensation. I'm losing touch with the intensity because my mind is elsewhere. It's back to my past, to my shame, to all the things I never wanted to hear. But then I hear